Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He is faithful all the time. Amen? So I'm just going to ask you to turn with me to Matthew. It's a big book, Ricky. Which verse? Which chapter? Matthew chapter 21. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for these intercessors. I thank you for tonight, Lord God. I thank you for our time together tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you are releasing within each of us a new calling, a deeper calling. You are releasing within your faithful intercessors something profound this week that they will carry with them throughout their days. I thank you, Father God. Each day brings with it an impartation of your Spirit. I thank you for the depth that you were bringing us this week. I thank you that as we pour out our tears over this nation, you pour within each of us more and more of you. I thank you, Lord. Open up your word to us, Lord God. Speak to us through your word tonight. In your precious and most holy name, amen. Praise God. All right, so I promise we'll get to the reading. So this week, we have had just some wonderful, wonderful teaching that's taken place. This week, we've had wonderful impartations from the Lord. And as Ray was speaking last night, the Lord began to wash over me with destiny. What is our destiny? What is your destiny? I have been asked to stay within a range up here. If you could just, we'll put tape lines here and here. Look, it's not like there's a camera you got to chase me around with, you know. I'll do my best. So, the Lord, I just get excited about the Word of God. Amen? I get excited about what he's doing in our nation. And I get excited about what he wants to do in each one of us tonight. This week, and what we're going to see come forth in our nation, and I just can't hardly stand still. That's why we got to put me on the floor. Right? Because I got to move. It's how I am at home, too. I'm on the floor with my grandkids, you know. I'm on the floor with them all because I want to get involved. I want to be engaged. I want to see your face. I want to speak into your life. I want to bring life into you because you've poured so much of your life into this nation. My heart, Mama's right, my heart, I love you. I love you. I love each in every one of you because of your faithfulness time and time again to stand in the gap for this nation that does not appreciate what we do yet. Amen? Amen? So when my baby brother Ray, the warrior, was speaking, the Lord began to speak to me about destiny and our destiny. And as he shared about that baby being born, and they take that baby and they put it on the altar and they do their rituals and dedicate that baby to their idol, they have given the demon's license to come and attach itself to that child. And the destiny that God had for that child is thwarted. And the Lord began to speak to me about our destinies and how the enemy comes in like a thief to steal our destinies. And I said, I don't think so. We got to start fighting for our destinies. Because the Lord God assigns an angel to us. Amen? I saw my guardian angel one time. I don't know how he fit in the house. I could tell he was great big huge. But he was serious about his job. He must have known what was coming because I was about 11 years old when I saw him. And he must have known what was coming. And he was building up. He says, I'm going to have to watch over this girl. I'm going to have to protect her. She's got a destiny. And the Lord God put me on assignment for this girl. I've been in training for eternity this way for this hour. I threw him off a time or two. But he got me back on track. With a little nudge and a kick from Mom, and I got back on track. Amen. Let me tell you, the enemy comes in like a thief in the night. He doesn't just come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's in it for the long haul. He says, if I can throw them off right here, just a little. Now, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal here, right? Just going here. But if I keep on walking, I'm going to be in the corner instead of this straight and narrow path that God has designed for me. The enemy knows it. If he can throw you off a little bit, he's going to do it. He has come to destroy your destiny. He's not here to destroy your hour. He's not in it for the short term. He's not in it to just destroy, oh, I had the worst day ever. He doesn't care about your day. He cares about your eternity. Right? He cares not only about your eternity, but the lives of those you will impact. He cares about the nation you will grow up to stand in the gap for. You have a destiny. You have purpose. You have been created for this hour in time to grab hold of your destiny. Your destiny. Every person on this team has struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled to keep hold of their destinies. The enemy tried to take her out this year. By the way, intercessors, what did we say? No! He tried to destroy her destiny this year. He's been working at it for years. And this year, he almost won. But you know what? Every one of you who have prayed faithfully, every one of you who've been on our corporate crawls praying for her, every one of you who have fasted. Yeah, I know about the ones that fasted every day. One day a week, you fast for my mother. To see her fill her destiny. You know, having a praying mama is important. But having a big group of praying children also matters. Amen? The enemy comes in to thwart your destiny. Time and time again, he will fight and he will fight. And the more he fights and the more we give in, the further we go off the beaten path, the longer it takes for us to get back on track. You think, well, you know, God, remember Romans 8:28 and 29? God will use all things for his glory. Yeah, he will. Yeah, he will. Everything we go through will become a platform for ministry. God will use it. You go through tough times, use it for the glory of the kingdom. You go through deep suffering, use it for the glory of the kingdom. Everything that we go through becomes a platform for ministry. Because when we overcome in that area, we have authority in that area. So we don't beat ourselves up over our shortfalls, right? The enemy does that enough, because you know why? He is stomping on your destiny. He's like, God, God, take us through the process. We let God deliver us from it. We let God heal us. And then we let God use that trial for his glory. Now, don't come to me with your temptations and say, well, I went through these temptations. Does anybody know where temptations come from? That's right. Temptations come from without, the outside. The trials come from within. James talks about that. Trials come from within. The Lord allows those trials to work his way in us, to transform us into his image, to work out of us those things that stand in the way, those things that the enemy will take root in, those things that the enemy will grab hold of and what? Steal your destiny. You are a child of the living God. You are a child of the living God. Do we know what that means? Do we know the depth of what that means? I'm going to need you to switch your Bible verse. Can you do that with me? I'm going to need you to go to Genesis. We'll come back to Matthew. All the way to the beginning. Amen. If you're thinking, it's a new Bible, I don't know where that is. It's at the beginning. Isn't it the worst when you get a new Bible? You have all these marks. Your Bible just happens to go open to the thing you need. It's like it knows who you are and it connects with you on a personal level. And when you open it up, that's exactly what I was looking for. It doesn't help, you know, or it doesn't hurt that there's all kinds of notes in the margin that gets you there. Genesis. In the beginning. Now, we're not going to go to the, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, because I just said it. So we don't need to read that again. But I'm bringing you to the formation of the first Son of God. The very first Son of God. The first man. I want you to think for a moment, and I want you to really allow yourself to tap into what I'm trying to share with you here. Because God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything that you see for Adam. He said, let's make man. He said, you know, we went all the days. He looked, he was pleased. He looked, he was pleased. He looked, he was pleased. Let's make man in our image. So what did he do? He formed him with his own hands. He formed him with his own hands. And when the product was perfect, perfect. I often wonder how long that took. I know the Bible said, you know, day one. We're not going to go into that whole conversation. We'll do that later. How long did it take? I until he had the perfect man. Every element of Adam, every element of the first son. And when he was ready, he breathed life into him. His breath into Adam's body. That's intimacy. He formed him. The Bible says he formed us in our mother's womb. We are formed. Do you know that he takes the same care with each one of us? He knew exactly how tall you'd be. He knew the color of hair you'd have. He knew the color of eyes he was going to give you. He knew which continent you were going to be born into. He knew your lineage when he created you. He knew the heritage you'd work through. He knew if you'd be Native American, the generational things you'd carry, the heaviness you'd carry in your heart, even before you knew you were Native American. He knew if you were Jewish before you did. We didn't know we were Jewish initially. But he knew as he formed us to come forth. He knew. So he creates Adam. Now, he had the angels. They were hanging around up there. Right? He had the angels. But he wanted fellowship. There was an intimacy that was going to be born through this creation that he did not have with the angels. There was an intimacy, a personal touch, a beauty of relationship that we would have. Destiny was beginning. Destiny. He knew Adam would fall. He knew when Adam watched all the animals, named them all, there was a helper. He knew Adam's heart. He knew that Adam would feel this missing, a piece of him missing. And he knew that one day he would put him into the first surgery of all. It's the only surgery you want to go through, by the way. The first surgery of all. In order to give him a gift. He loved Adam so much. He loved Adam so much that he fulfilled his desires for a helpmate. He knew what would come. He also knew, you know, that was the beginning of the covenant promise coming forth. Covenant promise, the Messiah. Quite a few, you know, centuries down the road. He knew what was going to take place. But I'm telling you, when he put him to sleep, Genesis 2, 3, let's see, 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead of thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Intimacy. The Bible talks about how God would come down into the garden and he would fellowship in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. He would walk in the garden with them, talking to them, pouring out himself into their lives in an effort to make sure they fulfilled their destiny. And on that fateful day, fateful, when Adam and Eve fell, here comes God looking for his son. Now I've got 4 kids and I've got 6 grandkids. And one of them goes missing, something happens in my heart. They could be hiding behind the curtain. Something happens in my heart. A panic ensues. That ever happened to you at the park with one of your kids? And all of a sudden you don't see them? And what we know about human trafficking? We're tearing up that park looking for our kids. Nobody's going to take our kids. Adam! Where are you? I want you to think about that. The cry. God knew where he was. He knew exactly what had happened. You think he didn't know what happened until he showed up on earth? You think he was up there in heaven doing business, handling his taxes or something, and he didn't know what happened down here? He knew. And he came to call him forth. To bring him to account. How will he respond to my cry? How will he respond to my cry? Well, I'm going to tell you how he responded. He was hiding in the bushes with Eve. Okay, if we don't tell him we're here, maybe he'll come back tomorrow. We'll figure out how we're going to fix this problem. Because I'm telling you, things just ain't right. I just don't feel the way I felt before. Something's wrong. My eyes are open to all kinds of wrong right now. Hurry up, so them leaves together, he's coming. Seriously? He made you. You're sowing leaves together. Really? Run out and get on your face and repent. Intercessors know what that's about, right? That's right. We know what to do. First, I'm going to go on my face and I'm going to try to find a way to creep across the floor. Because I am so sorry. Sorry I broke your heart. I'm sorry I sinned against you. Can I take it back? Can I undo this? Have I thwarted my destiny? Have I thwarted the destiny you set before me? How many of you ever felt that way? How many of you felt like you messed up so bad? So bad. You cannot undo this one. I'm sorry. How do I undo it, God? Now we have the blood of Yeshua. Adam and Eve. The first sacrifice was made that day. The first sacrifice for our sins was made on that day. As God sacrificed that animal to make them clothing of animal skin, the first sacrifice for their mistake, for man's sin, was made that day. And I've thought about that. I thought about our talk. I thought about destiny. I thought about destiny. And we could all sit here and ponder, what would our life be like if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned? Well, I had four kids. So let me tell you, at least four times I've given that serious thought. And I was with my daughters when they gave birth. So I'm going to guess a few more times than that, I've given it serious thought. What would life be like? God knew what was going to happen. God knew what was going to happen. And that covenant had already been set in motion. He said, "Let us make man in our image." Adam was the first man. Jesus would come as a man, and he would walk this earth, and he would know no sin. You say, well, he's God, so you know. But he's man. Temptations come from without. They fell because of temptation, not because of a trial. Isn't that right? They fell because of a temptation, not because of a trial. Jesus came. He walked this earth. He experienced what we experience. All the temptations from without, he experienced. And he set in motion a new destiny for mankind. He set it in motion. At the beginning of his ministry, he goes into the temple. And what does he do? The beginning of his ministry, right after the wedding, water into wine, he goes into the temple. And what does he do? He tears it up. He says, "You will not make my father's house a den of thieves." They were buying and selling in the house of God. A new destiny was being established. A new destiny of holiness was being established. Destiny without tradition. Destiny was being established. Destiny where all that you had and all that you gave to the Lord God Almighty came from the heart of flesh he was about to place within us. He was going to take a heart of stone and put within his place a heart of flesh and write his law upon our hearts. A new destiny had been taken. And it's our responsibility to take hold of the destiny God gives us. When we come into him. When we come into him. Now, as baby Christians, I don't know if any of you have seen Trump stumble around a bit or two. But let me tell you, as baby Christians, we're going to make a mistake. We're going to make a mistake. Oh my gosh, I was a kid and I made a bunch of mistakes. The new covenant has been established to walk us in. And he took out the heart of stone. He put in the heart of flesh. And every step I took closer and closer to him, what did he do? He stamped himself upon my heart. He changed me. He transformed me. He took the hardness. And he ripped it out and stomped all over is what he did. And he gave me a heart after God. My destiny was set in order. My destiny. He said, well, you know, I really went off my destiny. What if, is it, can I come back? There's always, always, always redemption. Always, always opportunity to come back into the kingdom. There's always opportunity to step back into the place God has for you. He knows our heart, doesn't our heart. He knows the brokenness from which we came. And he knows the path of holiness that he's walking with us on. You say he came to Adam and he talked to him in the garden and Adam still fell. Well, yep, he did. Yep. I, you know what? I'll talk to Adam when I get up there and see what's going through his head that day. But I'm telling you right now, we have something different. We got Jesus. And we got the Holy Spirit. And we are cleaning house. Jesus came. He started his ministry in chapter of John 2, right? John 2. He cleaned house, right? Do you know he ended his ministry cleaning house? Yeah, he did. Passover both times. Cleaning house. Well, look, you know, I was here about three and a half years ago. And I tore it up in here. What happened? I set in motion my plan. I came in and I cleaned house. And you let the garbage back in. We got to stay on top of our lives. We can't slack. It's up to us. We're intercessors. We pray for the nation. Pastors, got to be intercessors. You cannot lead your sheep if you are not an intercessor. I am so sorry. So if you're a pastor here and you didn't think you were an intercessor, I'm going to need you to leave here an intercessor. Amen? Because you don't know what's going on in your body if you haven't heard the heart of God for them. Do you hear me? If you don't know what God's heart is for them, how are you going to lead them? And if you haven't been on your face before the throne of God to find out what they're going through, you cannot effectively lead them. And definitely not from whence they came. Because you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? In 3 years, they're going to fill that temple back up. You can bring your evangelist in. You can bring mom in. You can bring the prophet in. She can clean up that house. I'm telling you. She's been kicked out of a church or two. They didn't want to hear that word. I got sin in my church? What? Man, we got good programs happening here. Remember that thriller video we did? We got good programs coming in here. I saw the Spirit of God on that video. God comes in to clean the house. And as a pastor, it's our responsibility to keep the house clean. Amen? Because if not, I can promise you, the Lord God's going to come in and he is going to tear it up. He's going to tear it up. Anybody ever been in a church where there was a big tear up? It's kind of painful. Well, apparently. Yeah, every once in a while. If we aren't intercessors, we cannot effectively guide our flock into their destiny. Prophets, I can promise you got to be intercessors. Because you know what? They're going to get off track. If they aren't intercessors, they're going to get off track. So I could say it's a fire of God coming in here, or somebody could go turn down that thermostat. Amen. Our destiny matters. We got a beautiful, beautiful visual of how God sets in motion your destiny. What did I say? The Lord formed you in your mother's womb. You have a destiny. You have a destiny. Every one of you have destinies. And if you don't believe that, you need to spend some time with God until you grab hold of the fact that you have purpose. Because the minute you don't believe you have purpose, your destiny has been stolen. Do you hear me? The minute you don't believe you have purpose, your destiny has been stolen. Ripped right from you. You don't think your guardian angel doesn't freak out in that moment? What am I going to do? Somebody bring this person hope. Somebody, please bring this person the Word of God. Somebody ignite a fire within them that they can grab hold of and they can run with, because I was given a commission with this person right here to make sure they fulfill their destiny. I got the boundary set before me by the Father God. Can you imagine what those babies went through? They were given to their parents by God Himself. He formed those children in their mother's womb, and a spirit is put within them. Life, right? And they have that baby and put it on an altar to an idol? Can you imagine what that guardian angel went through? But let me tell you, that baby, that spirit, was in the presence of God. Can you imagine the depth of grief that spirit went through the minute that demon had been given license to its life? It doesn't even know. That baby cannot comprehend, but the spirit within can. Talk about grief. Talk about a depth of grief that is beyond what we can understand right now. Did you feel the weight of that? I'm telling you right now, if you don't know what your destiny is, you better get a hold of God until you find it. Until it is anchored in you. Amen? Because we are coming into times that if you don't know what your destiny is, when they come with that mark, well, I really don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I don't have a lot of purpose. I guess I'll go over here with these people. I'm going to follow the crowd. I've never been a crowd follower, by the way. I'm marching to my own tune my whole life. You can ask Mom. Sometimes she'd wish I'd march to a different tune, but I've been marching to my own tune my whole life. There's the crowd. I guess I'll see what they're doing. I had nothing better to do this day. I'm kind of hungry. I can't buy without this thing you got. Well, okay. You know what just happened? Satan stole your destiny. And you, who were destined to do something in the kingdom of God, have just been ripped out of God's destiny for your life. You know, God didn't create people to go to hell. Anybody believe that? I'm hoping you do, because we got to have a different conversation if you don't. Let's backtrack a little bit and go through the salvation message. God created us to spend eternity with Him. Adam and Eve were created for relationship with God, intimacy with God. He created them. He walked in the garden with them every single day. Why? Intimacy. So if you don't think you don't need time with Him every day, you're wrong. If He did it with the first man, when he didn't have a whole bunch of temptations running around him, don't you think we need it? I'm going to say I do. intimacy with God. He created us for that. And the enemy is sending out his demons full on attacks. Why? To take your soul to hell. To chain 1 billion souls for hell. You see that? They got a party going on. There's no prize for that zillionth customer. I'm not saying that's a word, so please don't say, oh, Ricky said zillion's a number. Please do not tell me. No. Created us for intimacy with him, a destiny with him. And I'm asking you to grab hold of your destiny. Grab hold of your destiny. It's not just your destiny we're talking about. We're talking about the destinies of nations. Let me tell you something. What did we hear this week? The Catholic Church has a ceremony in which every single American president goes down the row, pledges their allegiance to, you know, that guy in that big white hat, goofy looking hat, but that big white hat, the Pope. Why is he doing that? He's selling out our nation. He's selling out our nation. Let me ask you a question. This is one nation under who? The Pope? The Catholic Church? One nation under who? That's right. And your destinies grabbed hold of helps arrest this nation out of the hands of the elite. Out of the Catholic Church. Do you know that? Amen. Every single president, except for those of you who weren't here, President Trump, he refused. Every single president aligns himself with the Pope and sells the soul of this nation to hell. I'm telling you the truth. And it's the responsibility of every single intercessor here to fight back, to take hold of your destiny and know that you matter, know that your prayers matter, know that your life matters, know that you have been created in this hour, 2018, you would be here in Portland, and you would fight for this nation. The Catholic Church has its talons in everything. In money, in nations around the world. They are systematically destroying nations around the world. And America was doing the same thing. Obama sold us out. I grieved for Obama. I grieved. You know, we got a Republican president, Bush. Now, we're not going to go, oh, Bush. We're going to say, yes, we got a Republican president. And you know what happened? Oh, the church stopped praying. We got a Republican. That's what matters, right? Of course, they didn't know all the little intricacies that we know. They stopped praying. And when a nation stops praying, judgment comes. God uses, the Bible talks about this in Judges, God uses other nations to bring judgment, to teach us warfare, to prepare us. Even when the Israelites went into the promised land, there were nations that were left to teach them warfare. Do you know that? To teach them how to war. They had just become a bunch of soft people. And when another nation got wind of that soft, you know, Israelite nation, well, you know, the ones that actually did the battles when they came in, Joshua, you know, he's passed on. So I wonder who's leading them now. Should we go knocking? See what we get? couple generations, they've had no war. We got an army. I bet they even melted down their weapons. Make themselves some shiny bowls. No! God left nations in place to teach them to war. It was important that they knew their borders. You better keep them. Keep up your borders. Don't let your guard down. Because the minute you let your guard down, guess who comes a knocking? Oh, I don't know, the Philistines? Have you heard about them? Yeah, we did, huh? You gotta keep your guard up. God allows things to stay in place in our lives so we don't become soft Christians. Mm-hmm. Soft Christians. Do you know the time frame when I knew the most soft Christians? When I was 10 years old, there's a bunch of soft Christians out there. Oh, my gosh. I went over to talk to my neighbor about Jesus. Tell him he was coming back soon. I was 10, you know. I was on fire. Miss Joyce, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. And I'm innocent. I'm 10, right? You know? And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should have life. I had my Bible verses down. And I said, you know, if you don't accept him soon, he's going to come back and he won't take you. And she looked at my sweet little 10-year-old face with my big old eyes. And she said, oh, honey. He's been telling us that for a long time. And he hasn't come back yet. I think I'll be okay. The woman was 70. I'm thinking you better start getting right, woman. Amen. I was 10 and I could have told you that. You bring your cane to the door, you got your gray hair and your curlers and your little moo-moo. Yeah, you better get right because your day is almost up. I was prophetic way back then. They've been telling us that for a long time. Bunch of soft people out there. Now, we've had a rough couple of years since then. They're like, well, when was she 10? Okay, she's got 4 kids. She's got 6 grandkids. If she started when she... I see your little brains going. I don't want to get you all distracted right now. That was in the late 70s. Okay? Let me tell you something. This is my Jubilee year. And let me tell you, God is releasing something this year. Not just because my Jubilee, but I am going to ride that wave. But because it's time. It's time. The body of Christ got to rise up and take their place. The intercessors got to rise up and take their place. We got to grab hold of our destiny. And we got to fight with all we have. Because if we get soft, Obama is waiting. And they're going to come a-knocking. You don't think they got things in the works? You don't think... Pat Panzer, where are you? Who'd they try to put in Michigan? Uh-huh. They're grooming somebody. Muslim. Tried to put them in governor over there. He's a doctor. You don't think they're not... They... Listen to me. The elite, they go long term. They got a strong Muslim community there too. Very strong. Ford Letterman, of course he did. But we pray. Okay, so let me introduce you to someone. This is John Woodbrook, and he leads our corporate prayer. And this is a man that believes in building up our faith. And he searches out the things that will lift our faith before we pray. That's why the good news goes out. Amen. Our faith has got to be ignited when we pray. You don't sit there and say, Lord, please send revival to America and Reformation. What's the next one again? No! You get on your face and you cry out. You got to have your faith ignited. Do you realize what we're praying for? Revival. Reformation. Right? Do you know what it takes to get that? Repentance. Tears on your face. Kleenex all over the place. Travail to get that. That's right. They already have plans in the works to bring in their next Obama. So we didn't win this one. That big old bull sitting up there in the White House. We're just so irritated with him. Let's get the people all mad at him too, right? Let's pay some people to do some rioting, right? Yep, Antifa paid. Protesters outside Kavanaugh's courthouse paid. They're so bold, they pay them in the street now. Do you know that? We know somebody that was there. They witnessed it. Rioters. Here's your paycheck. Thank you for coming. All right, great, thanks. I really don't have a purpose, but I'm getting a paycheck. $1,800 a week. $1,800 a week. They will pay you to protest. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Not me, but Karen has a really good eye with faces. So if I see anybody on you on the news looking for a job out there protesting, we're going to find you. $1,800 a week, that's good money. So they say, okay, well, we're just going to give them Trump, whatever. Oh, well, we just kind of, yeah. Okay, strategy. Let's go. We already got somebody in the wings. And let me tell you, they don't just have somebody in the wings. They got somebody. As far as the eye can see, they got them lined up. Oh, you didn't make it. We'll just kill him. So we got another one. We can make another one. Anybody, have you ever heard somebody say? You know. You better straighten up. I can make another one look just like you. Remember hearing that in the old days? I heard that in Michigan a lot. Listen to me. They will. Yes, you got it. They will. Yeah, that was just some rough parenting. They will. Bring the next person in line. And the next. And the next. And the next. I've never seen so many suicides in my life. Right? Seriously. I thought you really... How did you shoot yourself in the head twice? Really? And here's the thing. People believed it. We're so gullible. In the back of the head. What? Didn't anybody ever learn to ask a question? No, because they're dumbing us down. They dumb us down in the schools. They dumb us down with our TV programs for children. They dumb us down in our churches because they don't give us the meat of the word and teach us how to rise up and take hold of our destiny. The enemy uses over and over and over. He's got demons lined up. Go to that church. Bring division. Go to that church. Make that pastor tired this morning. Go to that church. Cause that worship leader to flirt with the girl on the front row. That'll disrupt the spirit of God. You don't think he does it? Oh, he does it. He does it. We have got to fight for our destiny. Obama was put into office because we got soft. And do you know what? Our elections are coming up. And if we get soft, all the work that President Trump has done, starts slipping away. We can't get soft. We're fighting for the destiny of America. America is a light to the nations. America is linked with Israel. Do you know that? They're linked. Linked. Why do you... God searched and he searched and he searched and he couldn't find a nation that would link up with his children. So what did he do? He said, I'm going to form America. I'm just going to create my own nation. Because they will have people who will pray to bring my people into the fulfillment of my covenant promise. My people into the fulfillment of the covenant promise. If we don't understand the significance of America's ties with Israel, we need to have another conversation on a different day. I'm just going to have to ask you to trust me. Amen. Thank you. If we get soft, our elections, I'm telling you, it's serious. How many of you understand the depth of darkness that's in the Catholic Church? I mean, really grab hold of it. How many of you were in our Joel's Army, California? Okay, really? Come on, California! This girl right here, she was my translator. And the Spirit of God moved. She was there. She was engaged. And I'm telling you, the Lord showed me something about our spirit, the Spirit of God, and how it will flow between his children. It was really beautiful. The Catholic Church is stealing our children. And I mean, they're stealing our children. They're sacrificing our children. They keep them in cages until they're ready for their use. They drink their blood. And if you don't think that's a thing, let me tell you. There are doctors right now for $8,000 you can go and drink a teenager's blood. They process it. Teenager. Because it helps to renew the mind and the youth. Might help with a couple of wrinkles. They got cream for that, people. They got vitamins for the brain. And you stay in the Word of God and let him transform your mind, and you don't have to need any of that. Amen? $8,000 in the state of California. They're doing testing on it, and they literally will take the blood from a teenager, process it, and give it to a wealthy person. Because I don't know about you, but I don't have $8,000 laying around. No, I would not. You're right. That's gross. My grandkids would say, that's gross, Yama. They call me Yama. That's what they're doing. That's the sickness. Take from the youth and you'll live longer. How is that right? We are supposed to pour into our youth just like God breathed his life into us. We are to breathe life into our children and prepare them for the future. Prepare them to be the warriors of God that they were created to be. Prepare them to arm up. Prepare them to walk with God. Prepare them. Teach them how to put on the armor. Teach them how not to be soft. Teach them to fight for something, because in our schools right now, they're teaching them to fight for nothing but their own self-will, and only if we can control your self-will. See the loop-de-loop your brain just did? It's crazy. So Catholic Church is steeped into the trafficking of our children. Steeped into the trafficking of our children. And you know, have you guys looked inside the redesign? I know I showed these guys in Joel's Army. Have you guys seen the redesign of the Vatican? Okay, so let me just tell you a story, and I know we got to get to... You know, I'm actually going to get up here on the platform. You're like, really? Well, pray I don't walk off it. So, the Catholic Church, years ago, I had a dream. And I was down into this really, really, just really dark area. And there were people in cages down there. And they were young all the way up. I mean, babies. They had to be carried out. And I went down there. I had no idea where I was. I just knew that there were people held in captivity here, and I had to get them out. And so what I did was I started unlocking. It's like the Spirit of God moved, and I started unlocking the cages. I didn't even know. It was probably a Peter moment. All the cages started opening. We started grabbing the children and running and running and running. And we're running and we're going up this big, big, windy area. And when we make it, and it's like all cobblestone path. And when we make it, I see the light of the doors ahead. And as we're going, I see this huge serpent as big as the cavity that we just came out of coming for us. And we are running, and we are running towards those doors. And the people are screaming. I was one of the last ones going out. And I woke up. Now, I'm not asking you to do this right now because you're not allowed to have cell phones in here. But I am asking you. Just type in redesign of the Vatican. Now, this couple over here, they were there. What is it? It's a serpent. You say, uh-uh. Right? It looks like a serpent. The redesign of the Vatican looks like a serpent. It's got, over here, coming off the stage, over here is one big red stained glass window. Over here is another big red stained glass window. Over here, where the pulpit is, there's a couple of nostrils. You got some pointy things here, and you got a pointy thing here. I'm telling you, you look at that thing, and you know you're looking into the mouth of a serpent, the face of a serpent. And you know what? They're ready to devour everything that comes in their wake. You don't think that's worth fighting against? You don't think your destiny, no matter how young, no matter how old you are, doesn't need to be engaged right now to fight against that? Because they are waiting to take over our nation. And every president but Trump has walked the ceremonial walk to sign their nation, this nation, over to the Catholic Church. You don't think we got a fight on our hands? They think we're soft, but we had 8 years of Obama. I'm feeling pretty geared up. I never prayed like I prayed in 2016. I never prayed like I prayed in 2016, because if Hillary Clinton got in that office, whoa, Hattie, I can promise you, we wouldn't be here. She would have already terminated all religious services. She would have already had you in a FEMA camp. You guys heard about the clergy response system? Uh-huh. Clergy response system. So after Katrina, they set up in motion, we need to find a way. Oh, look, here's a tragedy. Because we got to find a way to get those shepherds to get their flock in line. We don't want them having guns. And we really need them to be more compliant. Oh, look here. Katrina. How convenient. Tragedy, right? It was tragic. It was very tragic. We were down there for several years. So they implement clergy response system. All the pastors come together and they get trained. And they get trained on how to identify the members of their church who have weapons. And they get trained on how to talk them into releasing their weapons to the government. They get trained on how to identify those who might cause a resistance. How to talk their flock into coming over to a FEMA camp for safety, warmth, food, water. 28,000 pastors in our nation signed it the first year. First year. Sure. That sounds like a good idea. Deer in the headlights, I'm telling you. They never thought. Are you kidding me? They're signing us up for concentration camps. They're going to put us in mass, Christians. They're not doing this with other organizations. It's with the clergy response team. And they're going to herd us up and put us in their little systems, in their little FEMA camps. Sounds like a concentration camp to me. And they can just wipe us out. And you know what? I can promise you, the news will not be there to report that. These pastors have become skilled at taking away your weapons. Once on site, they're discouraged from using God or the Word to help their flock, because it just makes them feel oppressed. I'm thinking, you better get on your knees and pray, because we can't be here. Tragedy comes, we pray. We don't gather our flock and send them into a government-run agency. We pray. We're intercessors. That's our destiny, right? To date, it's close to 100,000 pastors that have signed over their flock . You don't think they have plans in motion? You don't think the end times are close? You don't think difficulties are going to come? We got to get ready. We got to be warriors. We got to fight for our nation so we can push back as long as we can. But if we get soft, it's coming and it's going to strip you of all that you have. Because I can promise you, when they herd you off, you're not bringing your Bible. This is serious. We've got to pray lest the Catholic Church, who, by the way, was also involved in that. Guess, did you know that Copeland was one of the first to sign? There's a shocker. Copeland. Yeah. You'd be surprised at the names on that list. You'd be surprised. We cannot get soft. They're waiting to devour our children. They're waiting to devour us. They're waiting to devour the church. And if believers, if intercessors don't grab hold of their destiny and send their angels on assignment, engage their angels. I read this book a long time ago. It gave a visual, called This Present Darkness, and it gave a visual to what happens. It was a good book, huh? What happens when Christians pray? Angels engaged. It was a visual, and they felt the strength of the prayers of the saints. Because we are at war, and we engage in spiritual warfare in the heavenlies through our prayers. That's how we do it. It's crucial we don't get soft because we got our man in office. We need him another 4 years. And we need these elections. We need them. I can't tell you how serious this is. So I'm going to pray for you real quick, and then I'm going to hand it to Mom. Okay, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these intercessors. I thank you, Father God, for what you have called us here to do. I thank you, Father God. Father, I just want to take a minute, and I want to ask you, Lord God, that as they come before you and quiet themselves for a few minutes, Lord God, that you will speak to them the value of their intercessions. That you will impart in them, Lord God, the truth about their destiny. Give them a knowing in their hearts, a knowing in their spirit, man, a knowing in their minds, Lord God, of their destiny in you. That they might engage in the battle to stand in the gap for our kingdom, to stand in the gap for the nation, to stand in the gap for the plans and the purposes that you have set before us. Grant them that, Lord God. Grant them a knowing, a deep knowing in their spirit. I thank you, Father God. I thank you. I thank you. Just release, Lord God, into them. Release into them your spirit. Just release into them, Lord God. Release. Release an engagement within them, Lord God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God. In your precious name. Amen. We're going to pray. Can I have somebody come up for the keyboard? And can I have Adrian come up? I've asked Adrian to pray into this for us. Oh, he's right there. I don't have my glasses on.